Beijing waves the white flag as China's economy is on the edge of a meltdown, and the U.S. dollar threatens to take China's economy and the U.S. stock market both down. All that and more on today's show. I'm your host, Steve Van Meter, and thanks for joining me today, because the issue today that we face is that Beijing has backed off a bit from its policies against its own real estate market that is trying to tighten. Now, if you think this has anything to do with what it looked like during the great financial crisis, it does. And I want to point out those similarities to you, because going into the great financial crisis, the United States had a real estate bubble. And what did the Fed do? Well, it started to tighten financial conditions, and then it went too far and it popped. And what is Beijing doing? Well, it's trying to curb speculation in its own property market. It's pushed down on it and tightened, and now it's threatening not only just to pop it, but the whole economy. China's whole economy is in a really bad situation, causing Beijing to back off a bit. Let's take a look at the story. We see delayed bond coupons paid from Evergrande, this being an update from them, as they finally make some of those dollar-denominated bond interest payments. And here we see a series of articles published in state media. Now, when you see state media, think that is Beijing, the government. In the past few days, signal support measures are on their way to help developers tap debt markets. Now, remember, before, they were going to sit back and not do anything. But now they're saying, hey, we're going to come and help you out, potentially easing a liquidity crunch that began with China Evergrande Group's meltdown 5 months ago. Meanwhile, Evergrande again averted default. Customers of international clearing firm Clearstream received overdue interest payments on three U.S. dollar bonds issued by Evergrande, a spokesperson said. Now, a gauge of real estate's jumped 5.7% Thursday on that news, but check this out. Another report shows state-owned enterprises, again, state-owned being government, enterprises are pushing for the right to increase borrowing for mergers. So now they're saying, hey, banks, open up the spigots a little bit and let's deal with this problem, which could make it easier for them to snap up struggling developers. So you can see the government is trying to contain this issue, but still keep financial conditions a bit tight. State-run banks, government-run banks, meanwhile, boosted lending to the industry last month, state media reported. So let's continue. And then you see here, Chinese developer shares head for the best two-day gain since 2015 as a government bailout eases investors' minds. But the story, my friends, well, it doesn't end there, because if you think the stress in the property market in China is just a matter of one bond payment made, it's not, because there are more coming. And well, even the Fed is now weighing in on this. Check this out. China property stress spurs Fed warning as bond losses widen. Well, the Fed ought to know something about property bubbles bursting, because it did that in 2008. Just weeks ago, Wall Street analysts and central bankers were quick to assure investors that a collapse by China Evergrande Group wouldn't be a layman moment. Regulators in Beijing said that the crisis would be, quote unquote, contained. And now that a bond sell-off has spread to China's entire real estate sector and beyond, concern is growing about potential risks to the global financial system. And that, my friends, again, is the key here. As we've talked about on the show, this isn't just a China issue. This isn't just some bonds there, because we are in a linked global economy. So what happens in one country is going to have effects in another. We are no longer islands. When you look at this global trade and how things are all tied together, a big problem in one area goes to the other. And that was what people thought about the great financial crisis when it started in the United States. They said, oh, it's just a U.S. issue. Well, that didn't last long before it was a global issue. Let's pick back up on this story. And what we see here is the U.S. Federal Reserve made that link explicit in a report on Monday, warning what happens in China's property industry could impact financial markets and threaten world economic growth. And at a time where we do not need anything to slow down economic growth, underscoring risk of potential spillover, the Hong Kong Monetary Authority asked banks to disclose their exposure to China real estate, according to a local media report. At the heart of the bond market rout is concern that developers may have far more debt than disclosed on their balance sheets, and that's after some companies struggle to pay public and hidden debt despite appearing to have sufficient capital. Making matters worse is developers' inability to roll over maturing debt due to surging borrowing costs that has effectively shut them out of the dollar bond market. China's 10 largest developers by sales own a combined $1.65 trillion in liabilities. China appears to be stress testing its financial system, says Larry Hu, head of China's economics at Macquarie Group Limited. Only under stress do you know how much off-balance sheet debt there is and how much pressure the system is able to handle, but the danger is that China decides to ease off too late. And there is the issue. And that is the same problem the Fed had. They were tightening financial conditions and they went too far, and that pushed the U.S. economy into a global recession, into a recession which triggered a global recession. And that is the fear, what's going on in China, that they're tightening, and that is going to trigger a chain of events that they cannot stop. Let's continue on with this story. And here you can see extreme stress in China's high yield credit spreads are at a record. And what is a high yield credit spread? Well, that's looking at the difference in interest rates between what are considered safe investment, government securities, and high yield or junk bonds. And you can see they're blowing out, which is pricing in massive amounts of risk. Cities including Beijing and Tianjin heightened supervision over the use of proceeds from property pre-sales to ensure projects are completed, China Business News reported, and that will worsen the cash shortage for developers, making it harder for them to repay debts. And that is another point that I've been talking about in this show, that is not just a one-time issue. This isn't just, well, last month when they made their payments, okay, it's going forward. Because what I want you to understand is China is prioritizing the completion of projects, and that's taking stress on cash balances for these companies. They're saying, look, we want you to complete these buildings, not worry so much about repaying debt, because we have people that need to move in, we have people that have bought these, and we want that to be money good. And that's a priority, is the real estate owners, not the bondholders. And that's why the market is so worried right now. Let's keep going, because the stakes are high. Chinese banks had more than 51.4 trillion yuan, which is 8 trillion of outstanding loans, to the real estate sector as of September, an increase of 7.6% from the year earlier. Now imagine, that's a massive amount of debt. The exposure was more than any other industry and accounted for about 27% of the nation's total lending, according to official data. About 41% of China's banking system assets were either directly or indirectly associated with the property sector at the end of last year. And that is crazy, because we expect most of Beijing's property curbs will remain in place for a while, with the worst likely yet to come for both China's property sector and the macro economy, according to Nomura International's economists. Beijing's policymakers may opt to ramp up support to prevent worsening defaults in coming months. And I think that is what we're seeing, and what the Fed is trying to tell China indirectly is, hey, we've been there and it didn't work out. So you need to back off a bit, or you're going to create the next global financial crisis. And so, my friends, you may have heard me say that I have thought the next financial crisis would not start in the U.S., would start in China, or somewhere, not outside the U.S., but maybe now is clearly China, because there is a global dollar shortage, and the global dollar shortage manifests itself right now outside the U.S. more than any other place. And where we've seen this take place is in China's property market, for sure. All right, so let's go on. And what do we see? That now China's bond market meltdown brings a world of hidden bills to light. And this is a big issue, because China's property developers are struggling to pay bills that many of their bond investors didn't know were there in the first place. And missed payments on off-balance sheet IOUs, such as high-yield consumer products, secretive loans, and private bond guarantees, have rocked China's credit market in recent weeks. Dollar bondholders are struggling to know their place in the repayment queue of the event of a default, forcing a dramatic repricing of risk that's all but frozen the primary market for developers. Now, when we think about how this ties back to the great financial crisis, I want to take you back to one person in particular, Dr. Michael Burry. And if you have seen the movie, The Big Short, you may remember that he warned investors, that his own investors, by shorting the bond market, saying, look, there's a problem here. Now, what did he see? He saw that there was all these adjustable rate mortgages, and he saw the Fed tightening, and he knew that as rates went up, that those adjustable rate mortgages would ratchet higher. They would, instead of going lower as they were on the interest rate, they would go higher, and that would trigger an increase in payments. And when he did the research, what did he find out? He said people can't make the payment, and if this happens, the whole market goes kaboom. And it did. Now, we're not seeing the same thing in China as we did here, but we're seeing risks for sure, and maybe it's all of this hidden debt that we just didn't know is there, but we now have an idea that, hey, there's a problem there. What is this catalyst? We don't know, but it's pretty clear that something's wrong. Now, if you're concerned about these risks and how they may play out to your portfolio, be sure to check out that button up there for Portfolio Shield, which is a strategy I invented that is a very unique way of hedging risk on your portfolio. Let's continue on here. And what do we see? That Kaiser Group Holdings said on Thursday it failed to meet payments on wealth products, triggering a plunge in its bonds and shares. Fantasia Holdings defaulted on a dollar bond last month, only weeks after assuring it had sufficient working capital and no liquidity problems. Its failure to pay and undermined the credibility of Chinese issuers just after Bloomberg reported China Evergrande Group was on the hook for an unknown bond issue. Again, unknown bond issue by a separate entity. So we continue to see the same problem, but it's manifesting itself in other places, and that is another issue. And again, we haven't even gotten to the broad economy that China's got issues in. A lot of these companies have a lot of private credit, and what do we see? It's very hard to say who is safe now anymore, because the whole market has lost its refinancing capability. And I remember I told you that would happen. Do you remember that? I said, look, the banks would lose confidence. They wouldn't want to touch this stuff. And there you see it. It's happening right there. All right. Limited refinancing options increase the risk of developers failing to meet payments on debt, hidden or not. One such blind spot for bondholders are the investment products sold and guaranteed by some developers to Chinese retail investors. These offerings typically have high annualized rates but are marked as safe. But knowing the exact value of outstanding products is difficult. Evergrande sold the products to more than 70,000 people across China and set aside more than 80 billion yuan in assets to repay them. There are undisclosed private bonds often issued by special purpose companies with different names. Evergrande privately guaranteed 260 million issued by Jumbo Fortune Enterprises, for example. Fantasia had 150 million in private bonds. According to Fitch Rating information, the credit assessor said it only received from the company in a recent call. And so now we start to get to the next part of this, as we've talked about all this dollar denominated debt that China had, which will be a problem should the dollars continue to increase in value, which we'll get to here shortly. But let's try to figure out why they have all this debt. And many of you ask, Steve, why did they have this debt in the first place? Why were they borrowing dollars? Well, let's take a look, because here we see why China's developers have so much dollar debt. Is Chinese real estate firms long prospered by selling a lot of dollar-denominated debt. So, hey, people wanted it, so they offered it. This year hasn't been so kind. Their dollar bonds have lost about one-third of their value. Now, this is what I was referring to against a rising dollar, is when the dollar goes down, their cost of the services debt also goes down. But when the dollar goes up, it hurts them really bad. So let's go back to that and take a look. As you see, again, has lost about one-third of their value. So they still have to make the payments, but the value of their bonds are losing money amid concerns about a liquidity crisis at one of the biggest. Of course, we know China Evergrande Group. Worries about possible spillover or contagion have extended to other distressed developers, many of whom struggle to repay existing bonds if they cannot borrow more, such that the defaults become almost inevitable. And that is even as the U.S. Federal Reserve worried about the potential risk to the global market and growth. The risk of the borrower is not being able to repay the debt on time, but such that bonds have long been favored by global investors hungry for juicy returns in a world where a lot safer alternatives are negative yielding. So there you see it, because one of Evergrande's dollar bonds was paying 8.75%. So now you start to understand why were they issuing these dollar bonds? Because investors wanted them. They went there and said, hey, Evergrande, hey, all you other China property developers, give us your money. We'll give you our money. We want your debt. We want those big fat yields. And that's why they did it. And now, as we're starting to see the dollar strengthen up, it threatens to destroy this whole thing. But let's keep going with this. And what do we see now? In addition to bank loans, developers turned to a vast pool of money offshore, partly because authorities at times had banned selling bonds inside the country. So there you see. So they couldn't get money inside China. So hey, if you can't get it there, you go out, prevent the market from overheating. Even after such restrictions were lifted in 2014, waiting times for approvals and clampdowns in other local financing channels, such as shadow banking, burnished the appeal of the global dollar bond market, which in turn was hungry for higher yields. And then you so now we have this dollar shortage issue, and we come back to the supply chain problems that are sitting off the ports in the United States, all these ships. Now you see that as perhaps holiday gifts and things that need to be on shelves or finally come over, maybe some stuff you bought that just is waiting on shipping. I see it a little different way. And I want to share that with you is I want you to think it's all, kind of like a video game, right? You have these ships and they're sailing up to US ports and they're full of dollars. I want you to think of them as full of dollars. And I know they're actually full of goods, but think of those goods as being worth dollars. And when the ship docks in your game, you know, finally the ship gets to port and you hear ding, 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 and all these dollars come flying up out of the ship and float all the way back over to China. And that's how it works. These ships are loaded with goods that when those goods hit port and finally come off, they're paid for in dollars and those dollars flow back. Now they don't go, of course, back to these real estate companies because they're not exporting goods, but dollars get back into China's economy. So when these companies need dollars, they can convert local currency to dollars to those companies who don't want dollars. So maybe you're an exporter, you're a manufacturer and you get dollars. You go, well, I don't want these. I've got employees to pay. I've got other bills to pay. And they don't take dollars. They take yuan. And one of these real estate developers comes along and says, hey, I've got a whole bunch of yuan and I'll swap you for those dollars because I really need it. And bingo, it works. So when you see here from the Maritime Exchange that as of a couple of days ago, 164 total ships in port at LA and Long Beach included 101 at anchor or loitering, I like that loitering, and 63 at berth. That is dollars waiting to get offloaded into the US so they can go back to China. And then because now we start to see that China's economy is in really bad shape and China's economy faces risk of years-long real estate hangover as booming market helped juice growth for more than a decade, and without it, China could struggle to match previous pace, economists say, and that could lead to disinflation. And while economists generally agree that purging the market of irrational behavior is necessary, they say the campaign will at least partly deprive China of one of the biggest sources of growth. Chinese policymakers have signaled that they recognize there will be a trade-off for economic growth, but have shown no indication that they plan to scrap regulations on developers or home buyers. So again, they're just trying to ease the situation through the banks. They're not actually pulling back on these regulations yet. But I have a hunch they're going to be forced to when things get really bad. Let's keep going because things in China are getting worse because real estate activity accounts for about 1/4 of gross domestic product in China, considerably more than the U.S. So now you get the idea of why that they need to back off to curb speculation. But if they do, they damage their economy. And speculative behavior supported employment and revenue collection in cities for years. Without a booming property market, China is more likely to clock annual growth around 3-5% in the next few years, economists say, instead of the more normalized 6% that we've been accustomed to as of they. And that's just why you see China's plan to manage Evergrande, take it apart slowly, not quickly, and Beijing is working on a controlled implosion of the real estate giant, selling off some assets, which they have started to do, while limiting damage to home buyers and businesses and trying to get the banks to open up for mergers, because here you can see now there is more problems in their economy. They've got an energy problem as gas stations run out of diesel. And here you can see the gas shortage have left many gas stations across the country running out of diesel fuel due to supply constraints caused by surging demand for subsidized coal. And it's not just there, they've got stagflation risk building as growth slows. And you see here, China's inflation risks are building while new COVID-19 outbreaks are dimming the outlook for economic growth. So they've got an upsurge in cases, throwing the spotlight back on policymakers as the Communist Party's top leaders gather for a crucial political meeting this week. And even worse, La Nina sparks a cold wave across China as CCP tells households to stockpile food. And we've talked about that already. And with the Fed supposedly telegraphing that the U.S. economy is strong enough to withstand modest decline in the monthly QE, right, China is headed the other direction. And overnight, Premier Li said the economy faces a new downward pressures and has to cut taxes and fees to address the problems faced by small and mid-sized companies. So you can see they're well aware that problem is getting worse. And it's not just dollars they're short of. They're short of, my friends. Check this out. They're also short euros because they're borrowing to get euros. And China borrows again at negative rates in euros. And they sell negative yielding three-year notes as part of a $4.6 billion deal. How about that? Isn't that something? China is in big trouble, but the big trouble is not just euros, it's the dollar, because the dollar is threatening to break out. And what does that mean? If the dollar breaks out, all those bonds are going, these developers have, these dollar denominated bonds are going to go down in value more, incentivizing them to walk away, just like U.S. homeowners did when they were upside down. Let's take a look at this dollar chart here. You can see it's sitting at around 95, looking to break up to 97. The higher the dollar goes, the worse it gets for China's property developers. And then what about the U.S.? Well, you can see here from March, as the dollar went down, the equity market rallied. Now, the dollar has started to move up, but it hasn't had a massive impact on the U.S. equity market, this being the S&P 500 in green. But if the dollar keeps going, it's going to unravel the entire U.S. equity bull market since March. And U.S. investors, well, they are not prepared for that at all. And with that, I will appreciate all of you for being fans. Thanks for watching. Thanks for supporting the show. We'll see you back on Sunday for the chart show for those who watch it. And if not, we'll see you back on Monday for the regular show, where we'll probably get into more of what's going on in the U.S. I'm Steve Van Meter. Thanks for watching. Bye now. The content of this video is provided as educational information only. It's not intended to provide investor or other advice. It shows not to be construed as a recommendation or solicitation by our selling security financial instrument or to participate in a particular trading strategy. This video was prepared by Steve Van Meter on personal capacity. Opinions expressed in this video that do not reflect the view of Atlas Financial Advisors, Inc. or Steve Van Meter Financial.